We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me, as always, over there in the beautiful heartland of these here United States, Chicagoland, Mr. Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm good. It was one of the more weird, strange weeks of research. I mean, we record this on Tuesday for a Wednesday release.
Right.
And I would say I spent the majority of my time researching these games with a sliver of that banana cream research pie, looking at potential names for Saturday, looking at very strange statistics for some of these games, the history for some of these games. I realized that we have a purple supremacy to talk about in the Big 12.
We do. Yeah.
I am quite excited for this week. And as you can see, I'm fastening the clear little ear things that we wear, which is how we hear each other.
It's new for me. I feel like kind of a rock star in the nerdiest possible way.
Yeah, and you can see all of what we're talking about on youtube.com/thesolidverbal. But I am quite excited for this show, Ty, because I'm pretty happy with my Saturday nickname.
Saturday nickname, okay. I am Ty, he is Dan over there. Don't forget, if you are finding us for the first time, if you're just, you know, passing through, or if you've been here for months on end, go on out to our website, solidverbal.com. Upper right-hand corner, there's a listen bar. You can just mouse over that, click on that. Find all of the links that you need for Apple, for Google, for Spotify. Anywhere you get a podcast, you can find everything that you need to subscribe to the show up there. You also can leave us a review or rating, not required to listen. Again, free to listen, free to play, but we do appreciate it because we do put a lot in this here college football universe. We also have an Instagram, a Twitter, a Facebook. You can check us out there. There's a subreddit. solidverbal.reddit.com if you want to participate in the conversation with the other verballers that are out there in the ecosystem, Dan.
It's a good time. There's a lot of posts that begin with, is it just me or is Dan? And you know what? I treasure that. That means people pay attention, people care, and people realize when I'm genuinely wrong or strange. So I'm a big fan of the subreddit, and I hope that people will join and hang out.
People seem genuinely confused that I look and sound like I do and that you look and sound like you do. Like we should almost be reversed in like a Freaky Friday type of scenario.
Yeah, I take that as a huge compliment because you have command on this show. You've got a great voice, whereas I'm goofy and I make stupid things up and sometimes I'm right and I create nicknames for myself as it relates to getting picks right or wrong. And everybody looks at your face and says, ah, that's the dumb one.
Yeah, no, it's true. I'm
happy with everything.
I've always wanted to be funny.
Okay.
I've never been funny, ever.
I think you're funny all the time, Ty. Look at all the tweets we get anytime Alan Lazard does anything in the NFL.
Well, it's true.
You stick
it's
with
true,
people.
It's true. Okay, stop.
Yeah. Okay.
Should we get to some news?
Oh, let's get to some news.
Let's do it. We have breaking news!
Yeah. I hope so. Yeah.
We don't have much news, to be honest. There's not much news. Kevin Sumlin tested positive for COVID, as did Bobby Bowden, which sucks, man. That sucks. Sounds like he's doing okay with it. We wish him well. He's, what, 90 years old?
Mm-hmm.
A true legend in the sport
of
college football. Yeah,
yep.
So wish both those guys well. It's, you know, scary times, weird times. We try to kind of widen the aperture a little bit and talk about what's going on in the world from time to time, because we can't live in a college football vacuum all the time. So scary stuff. We hope those guys do well.
Yeah.
I didn't really see much else with regard to news, Dan. I did see that we've got news about Hendon Hooker. He's going to be all systems go, according to Justin Fuente, in time for this week's game against North Carolina. But beyond that, I think just a lot of really interesting matchups to get through, unless you have anything else.
Let's talk Oregon Ducks, because
they
had an opt-out and an opt-in, which is very rare to have both in a cancel-out situation.
Net neutral.
But one of their well-regarded corners who had opted out, D'Amador Lenore, very good name, by the
great
way,
name.
Ty, he had opted out, has opted in. So a snip-snap situation of Michael Scott and the roster. And then Brady Breeze, who you remember perhaps for his heroics both in the Rose Bowl and in the Pac-12 championship game, came on late in the season, has been with the program for a while. He has decided to opt out a safety. So Oregon, already dealing with both corners and now both starting safeties, now at least gets a cornerback. And they've built up some pretty good depth at corner. I also saw, just speaking of Pac-12 North defensive backs, Cameron Bynum, one of the more well-regarded cornerbacks in the country, had opted out and has opted now back into Cal football. So
okay.
A Michael Scott snip-snap situation.
Snip-snap, snip-snap.
Look it up. We don't need to get into gory detail. Look it up. Yeah. So there's
all
that.
Right.
Otherwise, no, you're right. And it's one of those things where I think the reaction to somebody like Kevin Sumlin catching COVID is like, well, better now than during the season. But this is as important a fall camp as Arizona.
Yeah.
And first of all, the health of Kevin Sumlin is paramount. But second of all, head coaches are like completely vitally important. They're running the show in fall camp. So in a year as strange as this one, this is a pretty major setback. Now, Arizona doesn't have something like a quarterback controversy or anything like that. It'll be Grant Gunnell, but it's pretty significant after a couple of really disappointing years for Arizona that this would have been a nice year to get some sort of bounce back with some continuity. And it's a tough break for Kevin Sumlin, first and foremost, his health and personally, but Not great timing anytime.
Do we have any housekeeping to get through before we get to our games of the week?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Tell me more.
We've been teasing something, just, you know, flittering and flirting around. But we've been teasing the fact that we are going to be launching a Patreon. And we have been very careful, very deliberate in this process. We were thinking we were going to do it earlier, but it was very strange with the whole season in doubt. And now that we have football and we have a rhythm and we have, you know, more conferences coming back in the Big Ten and Pac-12, we decided this would be the right time. And we are announcing next week. This show is released on a Wednesday. We will be announcing next Wednesday. I can't do the dates in my head. I want to say it's the 13th, Ty, but maybe I'm mistaken.
I believe that is the 14th.
The 14th. There you go. See, I'm generally mistaken. But, you know, we have received messages over the years, people wanting to contribute to the show and, you know, help out with things. And especially as you can see, we're ramping things up and we have big plans. And some of those plans involve needing more resources. We wanted to do more and we wanted to involve our most dedicated Verballers in the best way we know how. And We haven't done this for a long time, but we really feel like as we ramp up, now is the right time.
Yeah.
And we're quite excited to unveil our plans. So stay tuned for that next Wednesday, the 14th.
That is correct. That is factually correct. We're very excited.
This is going to be really fun.
People have been asking about this for years.
Mm-hmm.
They really have. And like you said, we've been ramping up. I got a cool sign behind me now. We got video camera, like the whole thing. I got lights in here.
Yep.
living in like an alternate universe. So,
and you're going to wear as part of it, you're going to wear a body cam to your secret day job, right?
I am. Okay. No, exactly.
Just making sure. Mm-hmm.
So, all right, cool. Well, more information to come on that front, Dan. Without further ado, I'm ready to get into the games if you are.
Let's do it. I'm ready. Let's go.
Dan, Ty, help. I need picks of the week.
All right, Dan, it is what? Week six, they're saying?
Sure.
Six? Yeah. Again, what's a week? It's a construct. We don't need numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We got games. That's what we need. I look through this week again. I had a genuinely difficult time trying to figure out what our window of opportunity should be.
Oh, that's where you're going with this. Okay.
You know, I'll play the sound now just because we have to. It's like a requisite thing we do on the show, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Early games that jump out to me. We've got Texas against
early slate.
Oklahoma, Red River Shootout. Florida against A&M. And Virginia against North Carolina. Those three, just take those three in a vacuum. That's pretty good combo play.
Definitely.
Afternoon slate, maybe of a little weaker, but I'm really interested in Tennessee, Georgia. I don't know how long it's going to last, but right. I'm interested. I want to see what Tennessee could do against Georgia and vice versa. The purple showdown that you referenced at the top of the show between K-State and TCU is interesting on like eight different levels.
Purple supremacy.
Even Pitt against Boston College.
Yeah.
Has a little bit of...
Are we just going to call Phil Dracovic the Acura legend?
He could be the Acura legend.
Okay. That's almost too obscure for a very short reference, but continue.
And then the nightcap is Miami-Clemson. We've got Mississippi State-Kentucky, which should be fun. Even Alabama-Ole Miss. Who knows what to expect in that game? Other than a big
things I expect.
Other than a big Alabama win, mind you. Yeah. Okay. But there's just a lot of interest there. So I guess if I got to pick one, I would say knock off in the afternoon portion because I think Georgia's going to soundly beat Tennessee. And my guess is that most people watching this show can live without K-State TCU. I say that reluctantly, though. I am pretty excited about this slate from top to bottom. So if you got to like cut off one of the limbs.
Right.
Do it in the middle of the day. Go see Cats middle of the day, whatever you got to do. But just do it in that 3:30 window.
Yeah. Or go find copies of Dr. Cats Professional Therapist from, you remember that show? Did you ever watch that show? It's very strange.
I know of the show. I didn't watch it.
Yeah. Real the scribbly animated. It seems like we're looking at a window of opportunity kind of week in and week out, like right after that early slate ends and monitoring the second halves of that, 3:30 Eastern game window start and seeing what you can do in the second half. I don't know if that's going to hold up, but it feels like almost a fan halftime situation. Watch the early, take a break, do your thing, sandwich, the meat in your Saturday sandwich is your errands or your social responsibilities, and then come back in the second half of those 3:30s and night games. But the night games haven't been deep, but the headliners have been pretty decent, as is the case this week.
If we're talking about watching in shifts, Shifty Saturday apply here?
It's not bad, but I think it's sort of all over the place. Season-wise, I think every week it's sort of Shifty Saturday. So what I have is, because there are a number of teams trying to come back from a bye and make a statement, your Notre Dame's, Miami going up against Clemson, and then teams that perhaps haven't had great results and sort of need to wake themselves up, right? That just like, okay, the first 2 weeks or first 4 weeks or whatever are done with. We need to go into this next part of the season, and really, we need a jolt. And so I have Splash Some Water Saturday.
I don't know if I like that.
You throw some water on somebody if they need to wake up, or you splash some water on your face, Ty, if you really need that jolt. So I have Splash Some Water Saturday.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Second choice was Soak Your Pants Saturday.
Soak Your Pants Saturday. What a
soak
term.
Your pants. Yeah, Soak Your Pants Saturday. It's still the aquatic theme. But there are a number of teams who might pee their pants with some big cameras on them.
Let's go through the games. Let's see how we feel just kind of in the moment, stream of consciousness.
I think there's a lot of water splashing here.
I'm not feeling either of those.
You'll see. Does Oklahoma need to wake themselves up a little bit?
They do.
Does Texas?
They definitely do.
Does Texas A&M?
I'm not disagreeing. I'm not disagreeing with the concept. I'm just the name doesn't.
All right.
I'm not vibing with the name.
Ty, you do better.
I probably can't do better. You know that by now. But
all right. Where are we starting?
We're going to start with the one and only Red River Shootout. Of course, it's a rivalry and a showdown, but it's the shootout, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
It's the shootout. And boy, what a strange journey this has been in 2020 to get to this game. Both teams are three games in. We got three combined losses between the two of them. There's a chance here Oklahoma could lose three in a row. A legit chance. They're a two-point favorite going into this game. I don't know about you. I have virtually no confidence in which direction this one goes. I'm not high on either of these teams.
Okay.
I do know that the one thing that jumps out to me is that I think I trust Sam Ehlinger. There's the one guy out there that I feel like I can trust.
To do what, though?
I'm not sure.
He went 17 of 36 against TCU last week.
I'm not sure, but I trust him more than Spencer Rattler at this point.
Okay.
I would also note, and I don't know what it means. Maybe you can help me suss it out.
Suss it out Saturday.
You know, that's not bad.
It's so vague. It would work for any Saturday.
It would work for any.
Yeah.
I want to know what it means to you that Texas is kind of in the driver's seat here. Because they've got
underdogs?
Well, as underdogs, but just in terms of standings. They've got a game up in the loss column on Oklahoma. Tom Herman has been good, mostly in big games. He does tend to get his team up. And I think they could very easily come into this game. It's, of course, a natural rivalry. But looking at it as, hey, we got more to play for this year. We got a game up on these guys. This could be the year we overtake them. Would have to run the table in all likelihood. But this is the year that we could overtake them and potentially win a Big 12 title.
I mean, doesn't it seem like all Oklahoma has to do is play a pretty good fourth quarter to win this game? Something that's been lacking?
If you take previous games as a template, then yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the case.
A respectable fourth quarter should have Oklahoma winning this game. If you look at the numbers, especially against the spread, Texas actually has the advantage on neutral site against the spread. They're 9-5-1 under Tom Herman, whereas Oklahoma's 3-6. But those wins, they've been very successful against Texas for the most part on a neutral field. So take that with a grain of salt. Oklahoma's worse against the spread coming after a loss, whereas Texas generally bounces back, at least in the eyes of Vegas. I think the Texas defense can be had on the ground. I wish Oklahoma had shown more these past couple weeks on the ground. And Oklahoma obviously can be had in most ways, as we saw big plays through the air and on the ground against Iowa State last week. But I went back and forth with this game. I think your trust angle is interesting. And Texas was right there. And I suppose Oklahoma was right there. I think I'm going to go with Texas here. I think I'm going to go with Texas here because I think there's an element of Oklahoma at this point. We've seen them in close action twice, and we've seen Texas in close action twice. Texas at least pulled out one of those games against Texas Tech, where Oklahoma is tensing up to a point that we haven't seen from a Sooner squad under Lincoln Riley. So this game generally feels tense. Sometimes it's a shootout. Sometimes it's a seven-point game with low-scoring action, whatever. I'm going to go with Texas here. I'm going to go with Texas with all of their problems because I think they can rattle Spencer Rattler. You got it.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. Yeah.
And I think right now their offense is a little bit more complete, even though Oklahoma's offense is more explosive. And if the worst unit on the field is clearly Oklahoma's defense, I think I'm going to go with Texas here. I think I'm going to go with Texas on a neutral site, given their history, even though Lincoln Riley has gotten the better of Texas. I think this is Tom Herman's year. I really do, to at least to beat Oklahoma. And listen, I already know that there are rumors about his job. I already know that. I mean, but this changes week to week. So I'm going to go with Texas to even things out, because it does seem also, if you remember what, you know, Charlie Strong's history against Oklahoma, as soon as a guy starts, you know, oh, man, is this guy long for Texas? He beats Oklahoma.
I agree with you, actually.
Okay.
I like him outright. I think it's close. I think it's 35-33. I don't know if we can say at this juncture that Oklahoma's defense is the clear worst unit on the field. It's probably premature to make that call.
You think so?
in spots, they've clearly been, let's put it this way, their lows have definitely been lower than Texas's throughout their first three games of the year.
Wasn't Trevor Lawrence, wasn't Cam Newton, wasn't Johnny Manziel, wasn't Marcus Mariota torching these defenses? Skylar Thompson and Brock Purdy, who we like.
I get it. I'm with you. We'll see how this plays out. I have no confidence in this game. 35-33, I'm going Texas as well. We agree. Also at high noon, Florida -7 at A&M. The Gators offense has been crazy efficient so far this year.
Yeah.
Led in large part by our friend, your friend, everyone's friend, calm throw Kyle Trask. 10 touchdowns, count them, 10 in two games. Only one interception. They are on the road here, which I guess sort of explains the point spread, but I don't quite get it. Maybe Vegas gets it. It feels like it's too low to me. So in looking through all these games,
why though? Why? What has Florida done and what has Texas A&M not done to warrant a 10 or 11 point spread?
A&M looked like crap and barely won over Vandy 17-12 in their first game.
Right.
And then they got smoked last week against Alabama. What have you seen in either of those games that leads you to think, oh yeah, they can hang within 7 against Florida?
Kellen Mond played better at home last season. They were competitive with...
Whoa. Last season?
Yeah, no, I know. We don't have much in the way of data from this year.
That's my point. I know. I don't see what you are hanging your hat on.
There are
A&M +7.
There are a lot of new faces on this offense in terms of skill position that are developing and flashing, but are not full-time comfortable playing for four quarters at a high level against SEC competition. And I think there is a degree of comfort that grows within players like that. That's a thing. We don't know that Florida is a team that is just a killer week in and week out yet. We've seen them play down to teams. We've seen them have to come back from clearly inferior teams. Again, talking about last year.
I don't know, man. I don't know. See, I've been high on Florida all year since the very outset when we started previewing teams.
I think Florida wins this game. I'm just telling you why the spread is 7. They're on the road against a defense that is okay, at least pretty good, I think, at its best. I don't know. They're not a complete defense, right? They're not a complete defense. But to be a double-digit favorite against a talented team in the SEC, I think you have to be a proven killer. And did Florida cover last week? I know what, it was a backdoor situation.
They did not.
They didn't cover last week. So Vegas doesn't have a firm handle on Florida's dominance, whatever level that is.
Yeah, I just feel like the offense is a juggernaut. I think they can exploit A&M through the air. And I don't have a lot of games this week that...
Yeah.
I feel bullish about when it comes to locking them up. This is a candidate. This is a candidate. I need to talk through some of the other ones, but Florida wins. I think they cover. I'm inclined to lock it up, but I'm having a little bit of cold feet right now.
Yeah. I mean, Florida has some flashbacks of Jimbo Fisher that aren't the most pleasant. I mean, this is not the Dan Mullen era.
True.
I don't know. It seems at first glance like it's pretty low, but I think Texas A&M is too talented to be blown out of the water 2 weeks in a row in the SEC by, I don't know. I know Florida's good, but going on the road in the SEC against what we think is a pretty good defense still to me is cause for a little bit of concern. So because it seems low, because I'm confused a little bit by the low element of this, I'm going to take the points. I'm going to take the home dog, and Texas A&M is my home dog of the week. How about that?
You're going to make him home dog of the week. Okay.
Yeah.
The Yakos. Home dog of the week.
Good. I mean, we're seeing what? The Ole Miss defense and the South Carolina defense? That's your like referendum on Florida's offensive greatness?
They've been really good.
It might be worthwhile. It definitely, like a really excellent offense should do that against South Carolina and Ole Miss.
All right.
I got to see it against a more talented team, I suppose, before... I'm just boom every week. Gators every week.
So. The other game we're going to highlight here at noon before we move through the other action, Virginia Tech on the road at North Carolina. Carolina, 5.5 point favorite. Tech's unbeaten thus far through really tough circumstances. They've been down 20 or more guys through their first two games. Yeah. This week, they are getting Hendon Hooker back, as I said at the top of the show. He is a quote-unquote full go, per our friend Justin Fuente.
Fuente. Do you have any thoughts, quickly, about NC State, Virginia? Virginia Tech, North Carolina, sorry.
North Carolina barely won a week ago in Chestnut Hill, coming off of that COVID-induced three-week bye.
Right.
I think they look better this week over Tech. I think they win, but I think it's like a three-point game. I would not want to lay points here. I don't know what Hendon Hooker is going to look like coming off of the long layover, but I am curious to see how Carolina looks against some better competition here, because this does represent better competition. They played Syracuse. They played Boston College. Virginia Tech's clearly a step up. The Carolina defense on a per play basis has been very, very good. So one of the like way too early observations, I think, is that the defense has actually played pretty well. So I think that combined with probably some rust for Hendon Hooker, that gives UNC enough separation to win this game. But I'm supremely interested in seeing how these guys sort it out, and going to go points here regardless of who I think is going to win. So give me Tech plus the points. I do think Carolina is like a 3-point winner.
I'm going to go the other way. I think North Carolina, I think for the reason you pointed out with their long layoff and they looked a little bit sluggish last week, I think North Carolina is a nice matchup, or I guess Virginia Tech is a nice matchup for North Carolina, because I think you can push Tech around a little bit up front. I think the Tar Heels should be able to run on Tech, and I don't think Khalil Herbert, as great as he was last week, was against Duke. Yep. I don't think he's going to be able to pace this offense in the way that he did last week against this North Carolina defense, which I think is improved. And also, I think there's a distinction in that Justin Fuente said Hendon Hooker is full go, not Hendon Hooker is full go and is starting for us.
Nah. Well, we can only hope for their sake that he is, because Braxton Burmeister ain't getting the job done, Dan.
Right. And I am going to take that possibility, and I'm going to parse those words and say, well, he didn't stay Hendon Hooker is starting. Maybe he's working Hendon Hooker in slowly, and they're going to go with both guys at certain points. That, to me, is a little bit troubling with what Tech is on the road. I'm going to take North Carolina here to win by 8, like a 28-20 win.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Other action in that early slate, NC State plus 9.5 on the road at Virginia, South Carolina minus 13 on the road at Vandy, and Duke minus 2.5 on the road at Syracuse. I'm inclined to go Syracuse outright there, continuing my weeks-long streak of hating on Duke.
The Greg Paulus battle, yeah.
NC State plus the points against Virginia. I don't know if what we saw at quarterback last week was for real for NC State, but let's ride one more week, baby. And South Carolina minus the 13 at Vandy feels about right to me.
I agree with you there. South Carolina won by 17 last year, and they should have a better offense if they can figure out the drops from those receivers against Vandy, who looks pretty listless. I'm going to full on disagree with you on NC State, though. I think Virginia is pretty good. I really liked what I saw out of Brennan Armstrong against Clemson. And this is NC State in a letdown spot in a second straight road game. I don't think they're at that point, as promising as Devin Leary looked, where they can perform at that level. I don't think they're going to get whatever Pitt was doing penalty-wise. So I'm going to go with NC State losing this one comfortably.
Losing comfortably.
Gotcha. I think Virginia is able to win this game by a couple touchdowns.
Moving on to that 3:30 slate.
Okay.
That sandwich spot of the Saturday. Or I guess the reverse sandwich spot.
The meaty filling part. Yeah.
Except it's not that meaty. So the analogy doesn't really work for me. But Tennessee at Georgia. Georgia's a 13-point home favorite. It's a big number for two ranked teams, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia's got the top defense in the country, according to the SP+.
I believe it.
I'm worried that they're going to stack the box. That they're going to stack the box, that Eric Gray, Ty Chandler are going to have a hard time running, and that it's going to be left to the arm and devices of one Jared Garantano.
Right.
Continuing with my hate theme, Jared Garantano, his arm trying to win this game against Georgia is no bueno from my standpoint.
But it's more keep it close. Keep it competitive. Is he able to do that? The best of Jared Garantano. Didn't really contribute against Georgia last year. That was a Brian Moore game, who actually was pretty good.
He was good. Tennessee's going to lose this game. I have more faith in Georgia and their defense than I do Tennessee and their offense to score points.
Letdown spot, though, for Georgia?
Nah.
You don't think so?
I don't think so at all. That game was over at halftime. So from my standpoint, I think the defense is too much for Tennessee to handle. I am curious to see what that Georgia offense looks like against a pretty good Tennessee defense, frankly. I'm not totally sold on SB4. Stetson Bennett IV, that is.
I understand.
And that offense.
There is going to be a probable crash down to earth game for him. Not necessarily a loss, but a struggle bus of a game, right?
I think that's right.
So I don't know how much stock to put on this, but of course, Jim Chaney knows Kirby Smart. He knows Georgia's defense. There is a certain, not necessarily advantage, and it goes the opposite way as well, of course, Jim Chaney tendencies and things like that. But if there is an advantage for Tennessee that they didn't necessarily have in years past, I don't think they've scored 14 points in this matchup four or five years.
It's been a while.
So
yeah,
there's a degree of pressing, I think, to Tennessee, especially as, you know, guys are seeing an offensive line that is probably significantly better than what Auburn had on the field, right? Tennessee's offensive line should be much more impressive against Georgia, and give Jared Garantano time. I don't know what he does with that time, but they give him more time. And it seems like it's going to be very difficult for Tennessee to run the ball, as you mentioned, and Georgia will be happy to stack the box. They probably don't even need to stack the box. They can probably keep two safeties back and still succeed by and large against this Tennessee offense. But I don't know. The letdown thing is so readily available in college football, Ty. it's just week in, week out, we're like, yeah, this team won a huge game and then just looked flat as hell the next week. And that's what Georgia did. Rivalry game in week two of their season.
Looked
great on national TV. Lights out on both sides of the ball. Quarterback's a revelation. The running backs are a revelation. I think it's that week. I think they survive this. I think they win this game 24-17, but I don't think they're dominant like they were last week. Because you remember, this offense slowed down against Auburn. They ran out to that first half lead, and then they just sort of cruised and crockpotted. So I'm going to say this week, Tennessee is able to just hang around.
Is it close enough? Is it a sell your Stetson stock Saturday?
No. I will never do that, Ty.
All right. So we disagree here. I like Georgia minus the points. You like Tennessee plus 13. 13 is a big number.
It's a big number.
At 4:00, we've got that purple rivalry game that you mentioned. It is K-State getting 8.5 on the road at TCU.
The Delton Duel.
Yeah. Did you just say Delton Duel?
I did.
I just laid my head down on the microphone.
That's okay. Ultimately was not a difference maker for either of these teams, but did transfer between them. So
I am not laying 8.5 here. I like what TCU's defense has done so far, but there is some big time letdown potential.
Oh, so TCU can be let down, but Georgia can't be. I see.
There is such letdown potential a week off that Texas win.
Okay.
I don't want any part of it. One of the early observations through a few weeks in is that K-State's actually been very explosive on offense, way more than I think you or I could have ever expected,
mm-hmm.
both on the ground and through the air.
Deuce.
Again, limited sample size, but I think TCU may be susceptible there. I think they win this game, but 8.5 is a big number in this game, Dan. A big number in a game that honestly feels like it could go one way or the other. So I am going to abandon, my treasured frogs and go K-State plus 8.5 on the road.
Yeah, I don't know why TCU is a 9-point favorite over anybody decent at this point. What have we seen from TCU? A really nice game against Texas? TCU always beats Texas. That's just how things work in the universe. TCU could be terrible. They're going to beat Texas. TCU could be amazing. They're going to beat Texas.
Right.
So TCU losing relatively closely to Iowa State, not really playing early on. Kansas State seems aggressively competent, if not pretty good. I'm still counting the Sun Belt loss against them, against Arkansas State, but they've sort of found themselves, Ty. They are.
It's true.
They are developing or have developed their identity. They're playing a bunch of dudes who weren't probably going to see a lot of time early on in the season because of depth issues. So, no, even if TCU wins this game, it feels extremely tight, extremely close. So I'm going to take those points as well, just because sometimes we are given a treasure like Deuce Vaughn, and it's best not to question things. And so I'm going to roll with K-State here.
We could just
keep it close.
We could just go Deuce Vaughn Saturday. Screw the alliteration.
No, I can't do that. No. I have to save it for a more fun week for Kansas State if I do that.
Other games in that afternoon slate.
Block, window.
Block.
Yeah.
Grouping. Arkansas getting 16.5 at Auburn.
This is an impossible game to look at.
Oh, my God. Texas Tech getting 12.5 at Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
And Pitt minus 6 on the road at Boston College, Dan. Any of those games suit your fancy?
Yeah, I love Pitt minus 6. I love Pitt
really?
In a bounce. Yeah. I love Pitt in a bounce back spot. Boston College, I can't week in and week out be impressed by, and they're losing pretty impressively. I can't ride with that line of thinking. And Phil Jurkovic, I actually really like what Zay Flowers, Boston College's number one receiver. Yeah, I like him a whole bunch. Real shifty, really great with the ball in his hands after the catch. I just think this is a bad matchup for BC at home. I think the defense, even though you can pick on the Pitt corners, that was very difficult to say, a little bit. I think they're going to get after and confuse and shake up Phil Jurkovic a little too much for him to really get comfortable leading this team down the field consistently. So I'm going to take Pitt in a really nice bounce back spot on the road.
See, that's interesting because we talk a lot on this show about point spreads that don't make any sense. If Pitt is half as good, even on defense as you and I think they are, shouldn't they be a 10-point favorite?
No, we've already discussed this. Pitt isn't good enough to be double digits, but they're good enough to win games by 7 or 8.
BC is my home dog of the week.
Have fun with that. Fun with all of that.
Home dog of the week.
I have no ambition to actually watch this football game. I will read about it. I'll listen to it on the radio. I'm not watching this football game. I think BC is just such a goofy spot to play. It seems like teams always struggle on the road in Boston College. I don't know why that is, but this year it seems like they're playing hard for Jeff Hafley. Could have won that game last week.
Sure.
Granted, against a rusty UNC team, but UNC is pretty good. UNC, according to SP Plus, I think they're like 11th. Pretty good team.
Okay. I'm going to... I don't know who is good, Ty. I'm pretty sure I know who's good. No, but I don't know who's pretty good. I say this about teams, but we've seen a lot of these teams 2 or 3 times. So maybe they're good. I'm almost positive Alabama's good. I'm positive Alabama. I'm positive Clemson. I'm positive Georgia. I'm positive those 3 teams are good. I'm very positive BYU is good. but in terms of like everything else, everything after that, I'm pretty sure Florida's good. I'm pretty sure Florida is really good. But I don't know who's good in the Big 12. I don't know who is good after those 3 teams in the SEC. And in the ACC, I know Clemson is good. I don't know anything after that. I'm entertained by Miami. I have optimism about Notre Dame. But at this point, considering the obstacles of 2020, North Carolina could lose the rest of their games. I don't know. I have no idea. That's why when I say Auburn, Arkansas, like, was Arkansas's competitiveness, especially on defense, these first 2 weeks? Is that a thing? Is that an actual thing? Or as the season goes on and depth is tested, Arkansas looks a lot more like they've looked these past few years? Because it's just, that's what happens in year one sometimes. You just, you have a nice spark in the beginning of the season, then you careen back to earth. But what is there to love right now about Auburn as a almost, what, 17, 18 point favorite?
I don't know. I think they win the game because I don't really think that.
I like their receivers. I like Tank Bigsby, and I like their defensive coordinator.
Yeah. So are you advocating for a, shall we say, show your cards Saturday?
Sure, Ty. I want to splash some water on this Auburn offensive line.
I don't know. Moving on. Let's talk about
the nightcap. Do you have a pick in that game?
Which game? The Auburn game?
Yeah. I'm taking Auburn because I don't see a way. Yeah, I think they still have enough juice to bounce back and crack their neck, as you like to say.
Good neck crack.
Yeah.
Couple games here to discuss in the nightcap.
Okay.
The big one, of course, is Miami at Clemson. Clemson's a 14-point.
Yeah.
Home favorite dance. Big number. It's a big number in a big game. Clemson's won the last two matchups by a combined 96-3 score, Dan.
Yeah.
But this year's different, isn't it?
I hope.
This year's a little different, if only because of Derek King. He's been a revelation for Miami. The Canes have looked really good early on. But I'm going to ask you a very important question. Does it matter? Does it matter that you handily beat UAB, Louisville, and Florida State? And does that carry any weight at all going into a game against Clemson?
If you blow out conference teams, given very strange circumstances, yes, it matters. It matters because we know Miami has the ability to perform at a high level. Now, opponents, you take it into consideration. But if Miami's sneaking by, if we're saying win your clunkers about Miami, that's cause for a good amount of concern, and we don't know how much it matters that they're winning games. But they're moving away from less talented teams, and that's important to me. 96-3 is concerning, but this is a different coach. It's a different offensive coordinator. It's a different roster. It's, yes, the history is there, and yes, Clemson is intimidating. Clemson, I did see 17-18 these last five or so years on the at home as a favorite. So not automatic that they're covering a 14-point spread. Miami has the speed. They have the athletes. They have the ceiling to make this competitive, especially since we don't know what Clemson fully is against a talented team, right?
I think that's accurate.
Usually we know by the end of September. We've seen it against Texas A&M. We've seen it against Georgia. We've seen Clemson performances after 4 or 5 weeks that we have a pretty good idea what they're able to do against a talented team. This year, it's tough. This year, they should be able to rush the passer a little bit. Yeah. Right? Against a good Clemson offensive line, nonetheless. I actually like the points here. I think Clemson wins this game. It has a little bit of competitive at halftime, 17-13 at halftime, but then Clemson jumps out of the gate in the third quarter. Something like that to me feels realistic, that ultimately the just Clemson of it all wins out. The Clemson of it all wins out. But no, I think Miami's going to move the ball in creative ways. I think they're going to find matchups. There have been some lapses, as we saw last week against Virginia in the Clemson defense, that guys just need the reps to get more confident and comfortable in Brent Venables' system. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Miami to keep things interesting enough that it's like a 34-21, 31-20, something in there type final score where Miami makes plays. That's what we've seen week in and week out, no matter the opponent, and hasn't been great opponents. Florida State, Louisville, UAB. But week in and week out, they find ways to make plays. And I'm going to go with Miami to not lose 52-0, 96-3 over 2 years. I think they're going to score at least 17 points in this game.
My problem is that we all think Miami is good, but we know Clemson is awesome. And I think there is a real strong chance here that Clemson blows the doors off Miami. Just kicks the absolute crap
behind
out of
what? Him. Behind Amari Rodgers? Behind Travis Etienne?
Behind the whole cast of characters, Dan. This is still the best team in the country in all likelihood. So I like Clemson to the tune of 42-24. I think they cover.
Okay.
I thought about locking this one up, frankly. I don't think I can do it. I don't want to do that to a Saturday night game that I am very anxious to watch. So Clemson wins, Clemson covers. Let me go back to that Florida game, by the way. Where's my lock sound?
You've given it more thought.
I've given it more thought. I feel a little bit better about it. Where's my lock sound? Why can't I find it?
I don't know.
It?
You want me to just make it myself?
Oh, here it is. There's my lock sound. Lock of the week. A fine production we have here. I can't even find the sound. I'm going to lock up Florida minus the 7. I've thought enough about it.
Okay. We disagree.
Staying,
Alabama, Ole Miss?
Staying in that evening slate here, slot, grouping, yeah. Herd. Bama minus 24 on the road at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Is there any bad blood, you think, between Saban and Kiffin? I know Kiffin had some complimentary things to say about Nick Saban and what he's done with the Alabama program.
Right.
The reason I ask that is not because I genuinely care, but I feel like there are ramifications here with regard to the point spread. Like, if Saban likes you, he's not necessarily going to run it up on you.
Yeah. I remember thinking that against before. David Cutcliffe. Yeah.
We've actually seen that before.
Right.
So what's the status here between this Kiffin-Saban relationship? Where are they at?
LFL, Ty. Limb from limb. LFL.
Okay.
And it's not because of the emotion tied up between any acrimony that existed or no longer exists, whatever, between Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban. Alabama's offense gets to go against the Ole Miss defense.
Yeah.
Limb from limb. Not overthinking it.
Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss plays with tempo, and they like to air it out.
A third of their passes
travel at least 20 yards in the air.
I know you like that.
I love my air yards. Mm-hmm. Not going to be enough to beat Alabama, but perhaps an interesting test for an Alabama secondary. They have been prone to that in the past. I don't think it's going to matter all that much here. I like Bama minus anything. That's sort of the rule of thumb here on the show,
yeah.
But at least that aspect of things is something that I'm interested in watching throughout the course of four quarters.
What happens when you play with tempo, but you struggle against an excellent team? You give the ball back quickly, Ty.
You punt a lot, yeah.
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 Could see it.
All right.
Could see 55-13.
Okay. Other games here in the evening.
By the way, you didn't mention, I don't think, or maybe you glossed over, Iowa State, Texas Tech.
I don't have it here. Do I have
it? You don't
it
have
here?
Iowa State, Texas Tech? Yeah, it's in the 330 window.
I do have
Iowa
it.
Iowa State
sorry.
In an open-faced, let-down, look-ahead sandwich spot. I don't know if we have an open-faced sound for it, but I just like our let-down, look-ahead sound.
I can play that one.
Oh, look Please. At that sandwich. I'm so hungry.
Oh, boy.
It's a great sound.
Boy.
People have written in that that's their favorite sound, Dan.
Iowa State has a bye week. That's why it's an open-faced next week. Let down look ahead sandwich after defeating Oklahoma in that very emotional spot at home. I'm just going to succumb to the mistress, the temptress that is the open face let down look ahead sandwich. And I'm going to take those points with Texas Tech. I don't think Alan Bowman's playing. One of the quotes, did you see? I don't know if you saw it from Matt Wells, was like, look, he doesn't have any breaks or fractures. So let's call him day to day.
Man, that guy, he's going to have arthritis by the time he's 25. He gets hurt every week.
Yeah. I hope he has a long, healthy life.
I know.
But it was Henry Colomby, who was actually the feisty last week. I think it's Colomby. Columbi?
Great head of hair.
See? Did you look it up after I told you?
I did. I succumbed.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. You succumbed as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to take those points. I respect the sandwich. All right, let's go back to the nighttime.
I think I mentioned it, but I don't think we paid it enough due. So thank
That's
you
correct.
For going back to that.
Yep.
Other games in the nightcap, 7:30, Mississippi State at Kentucky. Kentucky is a 2.5-point home favorite. We've got Florida State, a 21-point dog. They're going to be starting Jordan Travis as their quarterback against Notre Dame. Notre Dame's on a bit of a layover after... some of their own coronavirus-related issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 9 p.m., we've got Mizzou at LSU. LSU's a 20.5 or 21-point favorite, depending where you look. I'm interested in Mississippi State at Kentucky.
Okay, it's a nice matchup for Kentucky.
Yeah, we talked so much about hey, LSU played man coverage against the air raid. And then obviously last week,
sound like.
That did not happen for Mississippi State. They lost. And now Kentucky, I got to believe, is going to be really good on defense against this air raid. We know they can run the crap out of the football. I really like Kentucky at home here. I agree with you. I think it's a good matchup for them.
Both of these teams lost last week. Wow, there's my English. Both in somewhat emotional spots. Kentucky able to run for, 400 plus yards in a losing effort?
Navy 4.0.
Yeah, and Mississippi State just kept turning the ball over and just kept looking sloppy and lost close to Arkansas. Kentucky plays the pass pretty well. They did last year. They have thus far this year for sometimes. Ole Miss, they gave up some yardage. But Elijah Moore didn't go crazy, so that's something. I think it's a nice matchup for Kentucky. I think they bounce back nicely. And Mississippi State just might be that team that early, I don't know, what I was going to say September Heisman, but I've lost all track of time, where it's just like out of the gates, really impressive, and then quickly came back down to earth. I like Kentucky here. I do.
Okay.
It's at Kentucky, right? It's in Lexington.
It's in Lexington, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Give me Kentucky.
Florida State at Notre Dame. I genuinely take the points at every Notre Dame game. Like Notre Dame's chances here. Don't feel great about Florida State, especially starting Jordan Travis. The only caveat would be that Notre Dame hasn't played in a little while. And we've seen some rust factor there for teams that are in the similar spot. So we'll see what Notre Dame team shows up on Saturday evening.
I'm going to give those points. I want no part of riding with Florida State. Sorry.
And Mizzou at LSU. I like LSU minus 21.
As do I. It's Bazelak. He's starting for Mizzou. It was announced, not Sean Robinson. I think LSU continues to bounce back. Curious about what LSU's run game continues to look like, because I think there's a ton of talent and a ton of potential there. So I think they're going to have their way with Mizzou handily. Handily, Ty. You skipped over a couple of interesting group of five games.
Please.
In this document, but I want to add to it a little bit. UTSA, big offense. BYU, big offense. They're playing each other. Roadrunners, Cougars. I'd watch some of that.
Sure.
Houston is beginning their season. Fingers crossed. I am crossing my fingers.
Me too.
Against Tulane. And then Louisiana, still undefeated. They're taking on a team. What do you do, Ty, if you are not in the top 5% of your class and you apply to be an intern at Grayson McCall?
I don't know, Dan. You tell me.
Just don't apply. If you're not in the top 5%, do not apply.
Okay.
To be an intern at Grayson McCall. They're just not going to take you. Coastal Carolina.
The Chanticleers.
Taking on Louisiana. That's an interesting matchup to me. It's a nice little G5 week.
All right.
You want to drop some real stanky, saturated, drenched, moist, squirting Drummond Fife real quick?
Oh, stop it. That was terrible. Oh, God. Squirt. Colonial League football!
I have the standings in front of me, Ty.
Do you? What are the standings?
Bangor 1-0, Northwestern 1-0.
Bangor!
Northwestern 1-0. Southern Lehigh is 1-0, but they have not played a Colonial League matchup yet. Wilson is 0-1, but 1-1 overall. Blue Mountain, am I looking at the right? We've never talked Blue Mountain.
Yeah, I think there are different divisions. You're just reading off teams here.
I'm just reading off teams. So Blue Mountain's 0-0. Layton, okay, Lehighton?
Am
I even looking at? Pottsville, Saucon Valley? I'm looking at something different than you were looking at. The standing I looked at.
You may be looking at standings for very, very small schools like 2A. Here in PA.
Well, are there multiple Bangors?
No, there's one Bangor. Bangor, mate. We've been this route. The Bangor that you are referencing is where Julie the Cat Gaffney was from in the Mighty Ducks.
Bangor Airport.
This is different.
Okay. I'm taking Pally High. They're taking down the Bangs. The Bangy Bangs.
Palisades at Bangor. You're taking Palisades. Absolutely. I'll go Palisades as well. We've got
Notre Dame
Green Pond at Catasauqua. Dan, I always go Notre Dame over Catasauqua. I never go Rough Riders here.
Yeah, I'm going Damies here. I'm going Damies big.
Northwestern Lehigh at Palmerton. It's the Tigers against the Blue Bombers. I think we're in unison going Blue Bombers, right?
Always, 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 always Blue Bombers.
Penn Argyle at Salisbury, Dan.
Penn Argyle, Ty.
Penn Argyle.
I don't know how anybody pronounces anything in Pennsylvania.
All right, I'll go Salisbury. Mm-hmm. Saucon Valley at Southern Lehigh.
I should be forcing you to pronounce all of these schools like somebody with a deeply, deeply problematic Philadelphia accent.
I could do that. I will not do that.
Yeah. Why don't you drink some water and try it?
No, that's more South Jersey than Philly. But
is it? Okay. Sorry.
I'm going to go Southern Lehigh here.
I never choose anything with Lehigh. Give me Saucon Valley.
All right. Well, then that makes the next one easy.
Yeah.
Next one easy. We've got Northern Lehigh at Wilson.
Yeah.
This one's on Saturday.
Yep. Going Bilson.
Bilson or Wilson?
His friends call him Bill. Okay. I'm going Bilson.
Wilson it is. What are you doing this Saturday?
What am I doing this Saturday?
What do you got going on?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to make another pie on Friday. I might make another Detroit-style pie. That turned out really, really good. I sent you a bunch of pictures. And I didn't hear feedback, and I sensed fear. I sensed fear from the Hildenbrandt contingent.
Right.
Katie the Capper's coming over with her family. Okay. I'm having a pizza night on Friday. I don't know what we're doing on Saturday. Good question. I'm going to try to go for a run. It's not going to be nice for very much longer here in Chicagoland, Ty. So, yeah, get some exercise. Get some outside time in the morning before the games kick off. Then I'm going to watch football and... I don't know, maybe order some takeout because I'll be cooking all day Friday.
I'm not sure what I'm doing. I need to paint a room.
Okay, what color?
I don't know. It kind of like a light gray or a slate blue.
Okay.
So.
Can you see that shade accurately?
No, solid wife Kate.
Problem. Yeah.
She's really, she does the colors in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see. You know, I enjoy painting, believe it or mm-hmm. not. But as I'm painting, this is the pro segment where we just...
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this.
Segue into a read. We segue into a read here.
Yeah.
Reminding folks that I told you about the secret weapon a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
College Football Blitz. It's on Sirius Channel 84. The ESPNU channel. You can also look for College Sports Now. That's the channel on TuneIn.
Yep.
It's from our good friends over at Learfield IMG College. It's like the red zone for college football. They give you live look-ins. Look-ins in this case is actually cutting into local radio feeds, which is cool. Kind of feel like you're in the moment. Inside all the broadcast crews, in some cases they'll bounce in between, like home, away, 56 minutes of live play-by-play coverage every hour. It runs from 12 p.m. Mm-hmm. all the way through 8 p.m. on ESPNU channel 84. So if you can't actually watch the games, if you're doing something, if you're not in front of a TV, but you still want to be up to speed with what's going down, the College Football Blitz is a pretty good way to do it. That's what I do.
I didn't even realize how much I listened to the College Football Blitz, both in New York when I was out and about, like rushing home to watch games
exactly.
and I wanted to stay current. And even when I was on the road for Sports Illustrated, I would go to a game. I would go and, you know, I was in Knoxville or I was in Columbus or something like that. And then a lot of times I wouldn't be staying in that city. I would be driving to a city closer to where I was flying out of back to L.A., and so I would be driving back with whoever I was with producer-wise, and we would put on College Football Blitz because, oh my God, this is happening at Cal. This is happening at South Carolina. This is happening in Lubbock. And it was just like, boom, 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 boom. So as we're driving 90 minutes, an hour, 10, whatever, getting that blitz, getting that information, getting that authentic flavor, Ty.
What about Start Me Up Saturday?
I don't know why you're against Splash Some Water Saturday. It's okay. Do your thing, Ty. You're the ultimate controller over the metadata.
That's right. If I accept Splash Some Water Saturday,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get a flurry of tweets calling me a beta male for letting you bully me again.
Ty, you just have to be comfortable in your own skin.
I'm very comfortable in my own skin. I do not like this name.
Okay. Then name it whatever you want.
I don't have a better idea. That's the problem. That's what I'm up against right now.
Okay. What about, okay, you liked Shifty.
Shifty.
What about Shifty Eyes Saturday?
Shifty Eyes Saturday.
Shifty Eyes Saturday, because you got to keep your head on a swivel. All these teams playing interesting games.
Okay, I could go with
Shifty
this.
Shifty Eyes Saturday? Okay.
And then you could also use those little eyes emoji, which is like a
Let's
top.
Let's be clear. This was also my suggestion.
This is also your suggestion, but I think it's a good compromise.
Okay. All right. Shifty Eyes Saturday.
Shifty Eyes Saturday. I like
mm-hmm.
it.
I'm using Shifty Eyes right now on my camera. Mm-hmm. What's going on? Where are we looking?
All right. Well, this has been fun, Dan.
Yep.
As you said at the top, we do now have a YouTube product, a video product of our shows. I'm kind of reaching in. I'm saying caress, tickle, massage that like button on all of our social feeds.
Subscribe and then bell and then like.
That's right. All that stuff. Smash the like button, as they say on the gamer channels. I am Ty. He is Dan. Don't forget to follow along on social media. Don't forget to give us a call on 408-VERBAL-1, 408-837-2251. That is our reverb line. We cut up all your voice messages every Sunday. We put them together into our favorite segment that we call the reverbs. Had a great week last week. Ryan said it was the best week he's had since he's been cutting these up for us.
Whoa.
So let's see if we can top it again this week, everybody. Give
Can't
us a call.
Can't wait to find out.
All right. Subscribe to the newsletter at solidverbal.com. Subscribe to the show anywhere you can find your podcast. Just look for the Solid Verbal. We appreciate y'all stopping by. We hope y'all have a good weekend. We hope y'all stay safe. We hope y'all stay solid. And Dan, in the meantime, I think I blew my own outro, didn't
I? No, you're good. Look, keep rolling. Keep rolling. Just stay solid.
Have a good weekend and stay solid.
Peace.